Put down that cheeseburger. Hide those fries. Ditch the Twinkies. It's time for Hooked on Raw
with author, investigative reporter, activist, and raw food enthusiast, Rio.
Hi, this is Rio, and you're listening to Hooked on Raw on RawEnergyRadio.com. This show is about healthy living, primarily through the raw and living food diet and lifestyle, and other natural approaches to good health. If you're not familiar with the raw food diet, it means eating foods as nature creates them for us, organic, whole, and unheated. This is the diet that every other species on the planet adheres to, except humans and their domesticated animals. We are children of biology, not technology, and it is through understanding our biology that we can fulfill our greatest health potential. So join us as we explore how we can get and stay healthy by getting back to our roots in nature. My co-host is Lee Creazo.
Right here, as usual, at the controls.
Okay. Well, we have a very special guest today who means a lot to us. Most people don't have the opportunity to know or become aware of how they have affected and or influenced others in their lives. I've been fortunate because of my book, Hooked on Raw. People have contacted me and let me know what it has meant to them. But today's story is more than a letter or email communication, as important as they are to me. So stay tuned. But first, Lee, do you have any tidbits you want to share?
Do I have a tidbit? I always have tidbits. I'm going to tell everybody today, not that they're super interested, but I'm going to tell them about Jack.
They might be interested.
They might.
Jack?
Jack.
Jack the rooster?
Jack the rooster who came to visit us up at the farm last year.
And adopted us.
I've never been adopted by a rooster. I mean, this guy was following us all over the place, sitting on the porch, hanging out with your helpers at night. Of course, nobody cleaned up the poop. The helpers didn't.
But, except me.
Except Rio. But we kind of like Jack, so I figured, hey, I have to build a chicken coop and maybe get Jack some chickens to hang out with. So I went on YouTube and I saw the do-it-yourself cheapy supposedly chicken coop, which I modified, and then it turned out not to be so cheap. But I built it, and what do you think happened?
But you didn't build it. That's why it wasn't cheap.
Well, I
you hired somebody to
build the materials it. Actually, it wasn't so much the labor.
Yeah, that's true.
The materials were really expensive.
Increased last year, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, what happens? The weather starts cooling down, and Jack defects to the neighbor's chicken coop across the way.
And he was supposed to come back in the spring when our chicken coop was completed.
So he said he would. But he didn't.
Or so he acted like he would.
Yes. But unfortunately, a fox got into our neighbor's chicken coop and had a big dinner. And also, Jack was part of the main dish, unfortunately. So here I was, stuck with a chicken coop. So
ordered some chickens.
I ordered mail order. I ordered 10 chickens by mail order.
Little Heritage chickens.
Yes. The original.
Those are the original ones, with the original, untampered with.
They came, and along with them, they threw in two extra just in case, and one turned out to be a rooster, Rudy Kazooty the rooster.
So now we have a rooster again, only he's not as friendly as Jack.
No, and now they just started laying eggs, of course, so we're vegetarians and mostly vegan, so maybe we'll have an egg once in a while, but the eggs go to the neighbors.
Or to guests.
Or to your helpers, yeah.
The helpers eat eggs.
And that's the story of Jack. It's better than me ranting about Big Pharma, right?
Big what?
Pharma.
Oh, that's right.
That's my usual rant.
Except I've got something to say about that.
I'm sure you do.
72,000 doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals walked away from their jobs in New York because of the state's COVID-19 vaccination mandate. These are the same workers who worked on the front lines all through the pandemic. And now, as a reward for their service, they are being fired for exercising their constitutional right to bodily autonomy and freedom of choice. And As if that's not enough, they are also not eligible to receive unemployment insurance payments. So what are they supposed to do? Well, it seems that our government just doesn't care, and so do all those who go along with this. In 2020, healthcare workers were heroes, and in 2021, suddenly, they are disposable. As far as President Biden's COVID-19 vax mandate for all workers in private businesses with more than 100 employees, fortunately, the mandate has been halted by a federal court. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals placed an emergency temporary hold on the mandate. Then, within days, the court issued a scathing 22-page opinion and ordered the federal government to stop enforcement, citing, among other things, that the mandate was, in quotes, fatally flawed, end quotes. That's a good start to reversing these draconian and coercive mandates. One of my all-time favorite movies is called It's a Wonderful Life. It's a movie that was not an instant hit when it came out. Did you know when it came out, Lee? In the 40s?
It came out in the 1940s, yeah.
But over the years became a beloved classic because it was played on TV every year at Christmas time. I don't want to give away the story, but briefly, it is about a man who is angry and frustrated about how his life has turned out until he is given the opportunity to learn the true impact that he has had on his community, friends, and family. And this leads me to, one day, I got a phone call out of the blue from a young woman named Karina, who wanted to intern with me in exchange for learning about the raw live food lifestyle. So we made arrangements and she shows up. I gave her a few things to do, but I noticed over a few days that they weren't getting done very well. And Karina was mesmerized by my book collection. I had a large collection of books on health, rejuvenation, detoxing, raw foods, anything to do with health. It was there. And our guest today is Dr. Karina Lopez, a naturopathic doctor, an herbalist, acupuncturist, and homeopath, among other modalities that she uses to help her patients. And this is the same Karina that came to help me all those years ago. Welcome to our show, Dr. Karina.
It is such an honor, Rio. And I'll tell you, as an intern, I remember walking in, and I'd love to give you a nice analogy. Can you imagine someone who lived in the desert, hasn't had water for so long, and then they see this amazing pool of fresh water? It's just impossible not to dive in. And let me tell you, I dived right in. I saw that water, and those books were nourishing and fed me so much because they showed me that there was a potential of real healing, and the knowledge was out there. It was incredible.
And at that time, Karina, you were in allopathic medical school at that time, right?
I sure was. And let me tell you something. I was sick as they come, and I was foraging for straws for an answer. It was so different. You know, I'm a Puerto Rican woman. I was the first Latina woman in my community, in my family, to go on to become a physician. I was the pride of my mother, my father, and I wanted to help people. And I wanted to do that by teaching them and bringing them to pathways of real health. And I realized quite suddenly that going through the allopathic route was surely not only not the way, but can lead to disastrous effects. And it broke my heart. And it was through this beautiful journey of seeing what is not real medicine, in my opinion, but seeing what transformation and real healing was. And that's when I saw and I was able to speak to you and connect, as well as a few others, that really changed my life and my path. And shortly afterwards, I made the switch.
And you decided to go to naturopathic school instead?
Oh my goodness, not only that, but I went to naturopathic college. I also did the Dr. Christopher School of Natural Healing. I also did acupuncture school. You see, I was trying to find, I was so thirsty, Rio. I really was in a desert. I was in a famine. And once I woke up to this rainbow of healing modalities that are ancient, that are traditional, that are bringing forth miracles, miracles of inspiration, of healing the soul, the body, the mind, I said, I'm diving right in. So I just went everywhere I could, and I even traveled to different places to learn what true medicine is.
Karina, when you were in allopathic medical school, what was the name of the school?
I went to Albert Einstein College of Medicine.
And in that school, what happened to bring you down so much that you felt that when you got to my house, you had the water that you needed? What happened in that school?
I'll tell you, well, what happens in every medical school. So it's not only about one school, it's about what these conservative mainstream schools around the world are really providing for these up and coming physicians to use as tools.
Do they have a class in Building 101?
That would have been a good one. But essentially, I remember this one lecture that really changed my focus and understanding of what I was entering. And that was a beautiful cardiology lecture by a professor. And I remember going in and he said, we've got these wonderful drugs to help lower blood pressure. But unfortunately, the side effects in the research shows that in 10 years, the people who take them may actually die of a heart attack, which is what they're coming in for, right? They're coming in because they want to prevent a heart attack. But guess what, guys? Inside of this Cracker Jack box, once you start the pill, it's actually going to cause a heart attack. And I said, wait a minute. Are people recognizing that these drugs do this? And I realized that no, the physician is going to have to act as a deity and say, guess what? You've got high blood pressure. I'm going to give you this pill, and I'm not going to tell you what the side effects are because it doesn't matter, because I don't think you're going to change anything. And I don't have the time in my busy day to sit and inform you, nor do I myself have the education. And I realized that. Why? Because we had one recommended nutrition class. You know, medical school was busy. There was a lot of courses. Everyone wanted to pass and get through it. It was a big ordeal. And with recommended nutrition class, only 10 out of 100 students showed up. And the RD there, the registered dietitian, showed us the pyramid. I lost my mind. I said, this is ridiculous. I don't need to hear more about how carbohydrates and meat and dairy are what's sustaining people, because in my heart and in my soul, I knew that wasn't true. So I realized I was not getting the tools to help people. Instead, I was getting a wonderful band-aid to allow someone to continue leading a life that was causing them sickness without giving them the acknowledgement that they themselves can heal their life. So I immediately realized that that is a systemic issue. It wasn't part of said medical school. It was a part of the conservative philosophy that the doctor is the deity and the patient is just a passive model who just needs their expertise. And I said, no, people are not passive models. People have a soul. People have a strength. People need to recognize and learn how to change their lives.
And some people are not willing to do that, while it's true. But again, some people are, as you know from your experience. But when you were in that school, you had already spent a lot of money. You had spent 2 years there, right?
Right. And that's, you know, it's unfortunate that these aspects happen. I mean, you look at a country like Greece, for example, and medical school is free. And you see these Doctors, God bless them, they come into medical school with all good intentions, but they're going into a system that is not an effective system. It's a system of medication. It is a system to give pharmaceutical drugs. It is not a system to empower. It is not a system to understand the root cause. It is a system that does not rely on prevention. It is a system that relies on just whatever symptom you have, let's stop it. Let's stop it so that you can continue your life. You continue doing what it is that's affecting you. And that's the part that's sad. You see, in our society right now, we're encouraged to follow due duty, but we're not encouraged to follow the plight of our souls. We're not encouraged to follow creativity and love and what really transforms us. And that's why we're not given the acknowledgement that what's happening in our bodies is actually also what's happening in our minds and our souls. And I'll give you an example. If someone has heart disease, if someone, let's say, had a stroke or has high blood pressure, right? We want to know what happened. What happened in your life that broke your heart? What stress was so great that gave you a stroke? And we need to transform that. We need to allow people to have better relationships with their family, with their job, with their love. That's what we need. And there's so much more in that regard.
So what you're saying is a lot of times, or a good majority of people are working at jobs that are not fulfilling them. They don't feel fulfilled. They don't feel that they're doing, maybe it's an unconscious thing, but they don't feel that they're doing their life's purpose. In those situations where people are just working to put food on the table and just pay their bills, what can they do if they're caught into that? For the moment, what can they do aside from that to fulfill some of what's in their heart so they don't get caught in that trap?
They must connect to their love. They must nurture their relationships, friends, family. They must build their heart in a way that they can forgive. They must assuage their stress through breathing, through meditation, and they must find a way out of that job. Perhaps writing a resume somewhere else, perhaps thinking of, you know, a financial independence through business ownership. There's many ways and there's many routes, but it takes a team and it takes work, but it starts with love and nurturing the relationships you have.
And on that note, we're going to take a short break. You've been listening to Hooked on Raw on nytalkradio.net. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Lee Criso. During these crazy times, it's so important to keep your immune system up. Rio's classic book, Hooked on Raw, has over 350 delicious raw food recipes, along with the information you need to help you stay healthy. Just go to hookedonraw.com to order the book. Not only will you be glad you did, but you'll be helping us to keep the show going. Thanks.
Welcome back. You're listening to Hooked on Raw on nytalkradio.net. My co-host is Lee Criso. As we went to break, we were talking about how, or at least Dr. Karina was telling us that it's very important to fulfill what you came here to do on earth, what is in your soul to do. And so many people are working at jobs that are not important to them. So they have to find a way out of that and get to do what they came here to do, what's in their soul, whatever it be. And Lee, you had a comment?
I was just going to say that part of the problem is that the school system does not teach people how to think for themselves, how to think about being self-sufficient. They teach you that, oh, you'll get a job with a company, and if you do the best you can for them and do even more, they're going to reward you, and you have a chance to advance in the company, and you could start in the mailroom and become the president of the company. Of course, what you don't realize is that only one of the people, if they started in the mailroom, only one person's going to be president of the company. And in many situations, you're dealing with big companies that are controlled by stockholders who don't care about the people who work for them, don't care about the people who buy their products, and really don't care about anything except the bottom line.
Or even the products.
And they talk about, right now in politics, everybody deserves a college education. And I'm not against everybody getting a college education, but it's the same thing in college. You don't need to have a BA or an MB or a DD, whatever it is, diploma, in order to be successful. You have have a desire to succeed. You have to know what you want to do, and the willingness, which nobody wants to do, to sacrifice to get there.
It's a little scary. It's a little scary.
I'll tell you why. I've dealt just in my little business here, and of course we're in entertainment and we're in health, and let's say, if I went out for a job with my resume, they probably wouldn't hire me because I don't fit into the mold, which actually was a blessing. But you have to be willing to go after what you want. And when I say sacrifice, you have to pay your dues. Everybody today seems to want to start at the top. You know, there's nobody starting at the bottom. And they want it handed to them. And it's not going to happen that way. You have to know what you want, and you have to find a way to go after it and be willing, as I say, like us, in the entertainment business, which is a feast or famine business. You know, how many times have we sat there with the electric bill unpaid or the gas bill unpaid and wondering where, you know, are we going to be able to fill up the refrigerator? But we decided to stick it out and persevere and go with the flow and stick to our dreams because we knew what we wanted and we were willing to take that road to get there.
Well, that's true, but we can't just pat ourselves on the back because we decided to do it, you know?
No, it's up and down. Hey, world with...
But what I'm saying is you can't, like, if somebody has a job, you can't say, okay, well, you chose that path.
No, but don't believe the hype.
Well, the thing is, in the education system, they don't nurture people to be entrepreneurial.
That's the point.
They're not nourished or guided to be entrepreneurial.
I know people who have the piece of paper, and they're working at Starbucks for $20 an hour or $15.
But Lee, in order for people to make these critical changes to their lives and well-being, they need clarity and a plan. Now, you and I, we had each other. We wanted the same things, so we went through the hard times together. We helped each other. People are facing different situations. Some are alone or divorced with children to care for, families relying on them. It's not easy, but it's also not impossible.
Yeah, I wanted to chime in, and I wanted to talk about Edward Bach for a second, because he was a phenomenal man. And he created the flower remedies. And he himself wrote this beautiful book called The Original Writings of Edward Bach. And it's, you know, it's a composition of different writings that he has. And he gives an example, and this example is really important. You have a child, and the child is with her teacher. And with the teacher, the child is drawing a beautiful house. Let's say even with the child's mother. And draws the house to what she believes, and I'm using she as an example, she believes is the most beautiful house ever made. The windows are perfect, the doors are perfect. But then the mother, the teacher, the father, whoever, looks and says, well, that doesn't really look like a window. It needs to be more like a square. And, well, the tree, that doesn't really look like a tree. It needs to be like this. So we get pigeonholed into these expectations of others, as well as brainwashed on a very deep level with the expectations of society. And that slowly through years and years of these very, very formal educations, going through elementary into college. The brainwashing just continues and continues, and we're farther and farther away from acknowledging what our souls, our true souls' desires are. And that is why people find it so difficult to even find their soul's purpose, because they're so busy thinking about what society, their parents, their this, their that, expects from them. And it takes enormous courage and enormous wherewithal to fight for what is really true. And sometimes you are stuck in a dead job, and sometimes you have people to feed that rely on you. And in those cases, I say, do that, but whatever seconds you have, fight to slowly get yourself back. And maybe that just means writing a resume. Maybe that means drawing a picture. Whatever that means for you, you got to do it, because that's going to save your life, and I believe that.
So what you're saying, Dr. Karina, is that this is an important thing for a person's health, to express whatever's in their heart and in their soul and bring it to the world.
They must. They must, because we are all here. We are incarnated on this earth for a purpose. There's a beautiful picture called the Sistine Madonna by Raphael. In the portrait, you see the Madonna holding baby Jesus, and he's going forward into the light, about to incarnate. But he's in a stance of upward posture, not like a baby. He's sitting on the Madonna in an upward pose with the knowledge with what's going to happen to him when he descends down onto earth. And in the background of the painting, you see these little babies, these little tiny baby clouds. And that is essentially speaking to the other souls who are coming down, well-knowing, with a purpose. And there's so many indigenous civilizations that describe what happens during birth. Some say that right when, and there's beautiful allegory, and I have to remember what indigenous culture this is from. But essentially the belief is that when the baby is in the mommy's womb, or, you know, the fetus, an angel comes down, and the baby's head is right next to the mommy's heart, where it's nice and warm, feeling all her love. And the angel comes down and shows the baby what her life or his life is going to be, or whoever's life is going to be. And the baby learns and accepts the good, the bad, the ugly, and says, and warns the baby, this is what's going to happen. You must be careful. But then the baby's flipped downward and comes out into the light and is blessed with all the fluids that cause the baby to forget. So the reality is, we have to remember again. We have to go back to our angels, to our connection, to whatever it may be with your own spiritual values, but you must connect with your true purpose.
What are you trying to make me cry here? I'm just a cry baby, that's all.
But you know, it's beautiful, because that's what's healing. You know, I remember dealing, you know, seeing a woman who was dealing with a domestic abuse situation, and the child was seeing everything. And the child was getting terrible urinary tract infections and bleeding and on antibiotics, and they actually wanted to insert a tube into the child's urethra and stretched the urethra out. And I said, my darling, you and your child are pissed. And she said, pissed? We're more than pissed. It's so traumatic. And I said, yeah, but you know, in ancient societies, why do we have these words? I'm pissed off, right? But the reality is that when you're really angry, it affects your piss. And this child was so angry and holding it in that it burned her. And it burned her to do a pee-pee. And she was so angry and fired up that blood was coming out. So we gave a homeopathic remedy that deals with anger, but that also deals with urinary tract infections because we had to clear her anger. But it wasn't only give the remedy. It was provide help for the mom. Help her get out of a negative situation. Bring her to the counselors, the therapists, the different groups that she can go and join to help her save her life and protect her child and that little girl who's role modeling after her mother. And strengthen the mother so that the daughter can grow up in a healthy relationship. So there's so much to healing. But getting that little child to stop those UTIs happened. But it only happened with the mother and the unit and the awareness that she could not be in this abusive situation anymore. And that's what it takes. It takes the love, loving someone enough to understand what's going on.
I wanted to get into that with you, Karina, a little later in the show, or perhaps maybe we can even do two shows because there's just too much information here to share. But I wanted to get back and have you describe these Bach remedies because they're really very unusual.
Edward Bach was a wonderful physician, and he pioneered what we call the bowel nosodes, which are essentially bowel bacteria diluted to help with a number of pathologies, especially when they relate to the bowel. Now, he was stuck studying poop all day, right? And he wanted relief, and he began to get sick. So he went out to the countryside, and being a sensitive individual, he began to just listen and watch and be present with the flowers. And he found that placing the flowers in water can bring a medicine that will soothe many parts of our mental issues we have today, like anger, hatred, resentment, fear. And so that began his remedies, where he really brought to life how our medicines can be used. And so those are beautiful remedies. There's a wonderful remedy that you can get called Rescue Remedy. It's very special because it helps rescue people when they're suffering from trauma. And I think so many people can use Rescue Remedy now. And it's easily available. But the truth is that we have to take a look at the many ways to heal our emotions physically and mentally. You know, I remember a story that my mentor told me. He had a patient who had terrible, terrible lung cancer. And he was dying. In Chinese medicine, the lungs represent grief. In Chinese medicine and in many indigenous philosophies around the world, every organ relates to an emotion. And so he never told anyone what he was grieving about. And he was dying. So my mentor worked with him to allow him to express what happened. And what happened was he was driving, he was drunk, and he killed a child. And he never forgave himself for that. And no one knew because he was someone who was wealthy and couldn't get away. But despite his wealth, his agony ate at him. And being able to tell his wife one day, with the guidance of the naturopathic physician, he confessed it, and he went to the beach with his wife, and there he died. He died in peace, and he died with the ability to say what was on his mind and share his heart. And that's what we want for people. It's not about life. It's not about death. It's about nourishing your soul's purpose and aligning yourself with true health through forgiveness, awareness, and love. And with that, I believe you get better and better and better. Because a symptom is just a symptom, but what is the root? That's what we address. That's what real medicine is.
Aiming at true health. You can reach Dr. Karina Lopez on her website, www.vitalisthealingtraditions.com. That's Vitalist, V as in Victor, I-T-A-L-I-S-T, healingtraditions.com. NYTalkRadio.com. You've been listening to Hooked on Raw on NYTalkRadio.net. We'll be back for one more segment with Dr. Karina Lopez. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Lee Criso. During these crazy times, it's so important to keep your immune system up. Rio's classic book, Hooked on Raw, has over 350 delicious raw food recipes, along with the information you need to help you stay healthy. Just go to HookedOnRaw.com to order the book. Not only will you be glad you did, but you'll be helping us to keep the show going. Thanks.
Welcome back. You're listening to Hooked on Raw on NYTalkRadio.net. My co-host is Lee Criso.
The one and only.
And our special guest today is a very dear friend, Dr. Karina Lopez. I knew her before she was a doctor, so I feel a special connection. I want to get back, Dr. Karina, to when you left allopathic medical school and went to the naturopathic school. Could you tell us a little about that?
I'll tell you the one defining moment for me. It was when I went to an iridologist. Her name is Medina Byers in the Bronx, and it was actually recommended to me by a counselor at Albert Einstein because she knew I was a fanatic for alternative medicine. And I went to her, and she looked in my iris, and she said, if you continue your road, you're going to die. You are devastated and you're unhappy. And I was stunned. This woman didn't know me from anything. It just rang true. And after that, I searched healers far and wide. And I said, I'm going to do it all. Which, of course, I could never do it all. I mean, we need 1,000 lives for that. And even then, that's only 1%. But I went and I decided to enroll in naturopathic college. I joined the School of Natural Healing with Dr. Christopher. I became an acupuncturist. I also became an iridologist. I traveled to different parts of the world just learning from different healers. I mean, the travels have been enormous, and I'm so grateful because real medicine is through understanding the ancient cultures and being a part and getting a glimpse of that culture and bringing it home and resonating with what you can to help people. And for me, it's herbs, it's homeopathy, it's diet, it's acupuncture, it's understanding what's happening in the person's life, family constellations, moving through fears, finding the courage to do what you love. These are the healing elements. Then the rest, that just comes naturally.
What naturopathic college did you go to?
I went to the University of Bridgeport, and I'll tell you a story. I actually went to Bastyr University. They had a program where I spent 2 months to check it out. And what I learned was, unfortunately, there, it was legal and licensable for naturopaths to recommend pharmaceuticals. Well, that's just not something I wanted to do. And I said, no, I don't want to learn that. And not that it's not important to understand how medicines and pharmaceuticals interact with someone's health, because that's important, especially if you're giving herbs and the like. But I didn't want that to be my tool. I wanted to learn the tools to help with pathology and only using natural medicine, only exclusively alternative medicine. And at Bridgeport, it was not licensable for naturopaths to use pharmaceuticals. And I knew I would get to learn the roots medicine, and that's what I did.
So at Bastyr, naturopaths could learn to use drugs?
Well, they do learn to, not could, they do, because there's quite a number of states where it is licensable to use drugs if you're a naturopath. And for me, I prefer to just send a nice referral if someone wants drugs.
Well, I commend you on that because I know that in the chiropractic field, some chiropractors also are allowed to use drugs. And I think it is counterintuitive to what they're doing. And I really commit to you on that.
Well, thank you. I mean, some naturopaths will argue, well, if you want to take someone off the drugs, then, you know, you can't do it if you're not in a licensed state. But I think that that's what relationships are about. You make a relationship with a medical doctor that you can work with, that can take your client off the medications as you help them. And also naturally, you know, if someone's blood pressure goes very, very low, then guess what? They're going to have to get off that blood pressure medication. And so you want them followed, especially if they're taking medications. And, you know, you build alliances.
So you're willing to work with allopathic doctors?
Of course, I'm willing to work.
Unfortunately, not so much the other way around, is it?
It's not so much the other way around. But you know what? If someone's already seeing an MD and they trust their MD, then I'll say, hey, you know, let's see if your symptoms are improving. You know, they could hopefully start to take you off. Doesn't always work that way, but we do our best. And there are people that will help wean people off drugs. You know, a lot of physicians do care. They just do their best, but they haven't seen the potential that could happen with natural remedies. And that's part of a lot of the brainwashing. Even when you take your board exams as a physician, it'll say things like, your patient went to a natural healer. What do you do? Immediately, the answer is stop them from taking anything. They're hurting themselves.
Call the FBI.
Call the FBI. So really, you know, finding good links, finding good people who you can work with. And that usually happens with good cases. You know, I've gotten calls from different physicians who said, wow, you know, this person was really sick and now they're doing better. It's a rare call, but it is a nice call. And then there's some trust that evolves and friendships evolve from that.
That's wonderful to hear. How much do you think you learned in the naturopathic school that you went to? And how much do you think you learned from traveling around the world to find the different ways of healing that different cultures do? Do you think it was like half and half, 50% in the school, 50% out? What would you think?
I would say when you go to naturopathic school, when you're, you know, in naturopathic college, it's essentially medical school, except you're also doing, you know, herbalism and homeopathy and a little of manipulation, etc. But that's just the alphabet. That's just the very simple alphabet. Learning how to read, that takes experience and travels. I say that my work really started when I started to really meet and work with healers from around the world. That's when I really began to help people with humility, because, you know, when you're, you know, in school, you think you can cure everything. And you don't learn that there takes humility. And that some people, they die. And some people live. And some people don't want to live. And some people are okay with taking, you know, their pharmaceuticals. And some people want to stay in that toxic relationship because it's ancestral for them. And the fear is a lot. So it's about having the humility to take people where they want to go. And be present with them with love.
I know where people want to go. They want to go to your website and find out how to get in touch with you.
Oh, yes. Let's tell us about your website, please.
Well, since we left, we actually are now...
Oh, well, we have to tell people what you mean by since we left.
Well,
Karina is a New York girl or gal of Puerto Rican descent, but then she met a Greek.
I sure did. Well, I'll tell you, it was more than that. You know, we were during the time of Corona, and which is still, you know, now. And I had a practice for 10 years, which was fantastic. And I helped community members.
In New York.
In New York, right in Yonkers. And lots of, you know, people from different parts of the world. And it was really, really beautiful. But when Corona happened, we had to shut down. And we had to work online. And suddenly it shifted to more education, more empowerment. And so we have shifted to healing with education. So we have these beautiful programs dedicated to doing just that. And we've helped people in exponential ways.
But we have to identify who this we is.
So that would be my husband, who's a chef and alchemist, Sakis Tamu, and my little baby boy, and me. We all went to the fields and into the mountains of Pilio. And it is really beautiful. My husband is he does a diet. He works with people to transform their diet based on ancient Chinese and Greek modalities. And we work with herbs and we work with education. And that's the most beautiful part. We're doing videos and we're inspiring in so many different ways. And if you look at our website, you'll see some ways to help transform your life.
And tell us what that website is so people can find you.
Yeah.
Because even though you're in Greece now, you're working with a lot of people in the States.
Oh, yeah. In fact, we're predominantly working in New York, through New York, and we definitely see people all over the world. And our website is vitalisthealingtraditions.com. And it's
vitalisthealingtraditions.com.
That's correct.
Okay.
Did you say vitalist?
I sure did.
Vitalisthealingtraditions.com?
I sure did.
That's the website, right?
Vitalist, V-I-T-A-L-I-S-T, vitalisthealingtraditions.com, because your health is vital. And the vitalist is the energy of your own vital force, your own capacity to heal your body, because that's what we believe in. We believe that you have the capacity to heal yourself, and we are just your teachers that help you understand what needs to be changed in order for you to feel vibrant and love further in terms of your families, your relationships, and what you love deeply in your life.
That's wonderful. And you can do it from Greece. All over the world now.
Absolutely.
I guess if there's one positive thing that came out of Corona is that we can communicate more with people all over the world through Zoom and other
Absolutely.
Apps.
And, you know, taking the homeopathic case and for iridology visits, we send someone to get their pictures down in New York or wherever they are. There are many iridologists taking eye pictures. So there are fantastic ways of bringing people to help and health and what they need.
Well, Dr. Karina, are you willing to do a second show?
Absolutely.
Here? Okay. So we thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lee.
You're welcome, as usual.
You've been listening to Hooked on Raw on nytalkradio.net. And until the next time, remember, stay in tune with nature, and you'll be in tune with yourself.